This is Dialogue, a podcast series from American Mosaic. This is a journey to discover my country and who the American people are today. Just driving around the country, talking to people about roots, family, community, jobs, kids, whatever is on their mind today. These aren't really interviews. They're unscripted conversations with total strangers saying whatever's on their mind. That is some good road music. This episode is from my trip in the South in Tennessee, Alabama, and Mississippi. This is a conversation with Rex, who I met in Oxford, Mississippi, in a coffee shop, and I had my video camera, and he was interested because Rex is a filmmaker, and he's working on a documentary. He's also a Christian, a young man with some very interesting ideas and thoughts about being a Christian today. It was an excellent conversation. We're in Oxford, Mississippi, a college town, the home of Ole Miss.
I grew up in Tupelo, Mississippi, which is about 45 minutes away from where we are in Oxford. And Tupelo is a very conservative town. I mean, pretty much all of Mississippi is really conservative. Tupelo, I like to call it the buckle of the Bible Belt. It's very... you know, just you can't throw a rock without hitting a church and stuff like that. So I grew up in a very conservative home and fundamentalist in a lot of ways, and which shaped a lot of my thinking. And when I was 13, 14 years old, I got really into playing music. So I started playing guitar, and I played a lot of blues. Got really into that sort of... Played in Memphis, played in the Delta a couple of times, played in the area a lot. So that became kind of my thing that got me through high school. And but after high school, I just kind of decided that wasn't the direction I wanted to go in long term, and I wanted to get into filmmaking. So I pretty much just packed up my car and drove to Los Angeles. Had no idea what I was going to do there. And so I got to L.A., and I just kind of hung out for a couple of months. But within the first week or two, I found a film school that I wanted to enroll in. And so I did that, and I was in film school for a year and came back to Mississippi because I didn't want to live in L.A. And tried to, got into some independent filmmaking and stuff like that, working in the industry around here. And after about 7 or 8 years, I got kind of tired of it, didn't really seem like it was going somewhere. So I enrolled in the education department at Ole Miss in Oxford, where we are now, and ended up getting my degree. And then as soon as I got my degree, I got a really great job doing filmmaking, and I started having a lot of doors open in that way. So I just kind of did nothing with my education degree and have gone fully into filmmaking. And I work for a software company here in Oxford called Next Gear Solutions. I'm the video guy. I do, my title is multimedia specialist. So I'm arranging a podcast and all that kind of stuff. And then I've also launched my documentary film company. So I'm in the process of making my first feature-length documentary right now. I've done some shorter form stuff, but everything is based in the Christian faith. It's all based in I like to call them kingdom films because I hate Christian films, like, with a passion. Like, I think Christian films are, like, some of the worst things ever made. And I'm talking, like, you're facing the giants and all that kind of stuff. God's not dead. I hate them. Like, with a passion. I hate them because I think they just do, they do it all wrong. They try to be preachy and they try to like get this message across instead of telling a story. It comes across very fake and very just shallow. So when I say that I'm working on films from a Christian slant, I'm trying to really dig into issues. So right now, this documentary I'm making is about guns and gun violence in America and Christians. So really trying to get down to the nitty-gritty of what we could actually do as a church to come together on this issue and what kind of solutions we could possibly work toward. So, I hate that title. Like I said, Christian film, I just want to kind of stay away from that. But that's where I am now.
I asked Rex what he thought about the divide that we seem to have in the country today.
Yeah, I think a lot of that is based in an us versus them mentality. And for me, you have to get rid of the them in the sense of you have to get rid of your idea of them and embrace the idea of us, because it's all us. And the truth is, the people that you think that you most disagree with, you're probably just disagreeing with them on the exteriors, because most people have a desire for the important things in life. Most people have a desire for love. Most people have a desire for justice. Most people have a desire to live at peace. Most people don't want to see people being harmed. So the idea that this polarization and this divisiveness is something that I believe is concocted and it's blown out of proportion by the media and by politicians, because that's how they remain in power. And that's how they sell ads, because, you know, CNN and Fox News, they're going to sell a lot more advertising when they're playing off people's fears, instead of trying to create a message of unity, because it's not, the message of unity is not as popular. But as a Christian, the message of unity is the message of Christ. So if I say that I claim to follow Jesus, then I have to be someone who believes in and works toward that message of reconciliation and unity between people and people groups. So it doesn't matter if I'm a Christian and my friend over here is a Muslim, I'm still supposed to be working towards healing and unity with that person. And I don't have to, you know, bend my theology in order to embrace him as a friend and someone that I would give my life for, even if it came to that. And that is the message that I want to work towards getting out, because all this other stuff, even when you have one group saying, no, we're right, we have the answers and you have to change, well, that's not working, because people have been doing that for years. And we have to get outside of that thinking. So even though, you know, it doesn't matter if it's the left or the right, they both do it. They both say, no, you have to change, instead of humbly coming to the other side and saying, what are you trying to say, and really trying to understand one another. That's where the change is going to happen. It's going to happen when we sit down and we talk together over meals, and we talk together over working on projects together and doing things like that. And you can't do that while you're hating your neighbor, I guess.
We talked about voting, people who don't vote today, and choices.
I think that we vote in people who are divisive because they're the only choices we have. I think that they're all divisive. I think Trump and Clinton were both equally divisive. I think that that's how they stay in power. Like, they're not interested in really reaching out and working with the whole of the people. They're just interested in appeasing their base and hoping that that base and those people will give them enough numbers to stay in power. So as much as I don't like some of the things that Trump says and some of the things that Trump does, and I didn't vote for Trump, at least he's honest about it. At least you know he's divisive and he doesn't try to hide the fact that he's divisive. Because, I mean, you know, I've said this too, like, and I have nothing, I mean, politicians are politicians. I mean, Barack Obama dropped probably more bombs than George, you know, W. Bush did. But Obama gets kind of painted as this, like, peaceful, you know, president. But he was just as involved with the war, just as involved with, he didn't do anything to help with the gun situation, really. I mean, if he did, he did very little. He may have made it worse, in fact. And that's not speaking bad about him. It's just, that's politicians, you know? I mean, and that's why I think that the solution is something outside of politics. It's something that comes down to people. And I don't mean just Christians. I mean all people. I think that Christians have a perfect model in Jesus to emulate what that looks like, which is loving the people who hate you, loving the people who throw stones at you, and forgiving the people who would send you to prison. Like, that's what's going to solve it. Enemy love, loving people who want to harm you. When we can do that, that's when we really change the world. But as long as you have Christians and Christian leaders who are still trying to get people to, you know, just keep attacking the left, you know, like the us versus them mentality, as long as you have leaders who are perpetuating that message, we're not going to change.
There are many different religious beliefs. Is one better than another? Is yours better than someone else's?
Well, I think that you can affirm the uniqueness and the truths of the Christian faith while also loving your neighbor and affirming their worth and affirming that they have, you know, just every right that you have. So, for example, like I don't believe Islam is correct because I believe Christianity is correct, but that doesn't mean like I don't have fellowship with my Muslim friends or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So, and I would probably debate thoroughly, like, within that, but, you know, at the end of the day, you're still friends and you still, you know, are kind to each other. It's, the problem is when you have people who tell you that that's not an appropriate Christian attitude, when you have Christian leaders who are telling you, no, you have to be against the Muslims, you have to be for the bombing of Iraq, or you have to be for, you know, the killing of ISIS, or like, that's not correct. Like, for example, like having Jerry Falwell Jr., you know, and Franklin Graham and some of these big leaders say some of the things that they say, they're simply not saying Christian things. Like, they're saying things that are very against the ethic of Jesus. So there has to be a movement within the church to speak against that and to affirm that that is not the message of Jesus, because the message of Jesus in America, in the American church, has been very perverted and twisted into something that it's not. But that's not just America, I mean, it's everywhere.
We talked a bit about the future and what lies ahead.
Yeah, all of your talk is meaningless unless there is some action behind it that moves towards justice, you know? Like there's so much injustice in the world and so much injustice in America, particularly involving mass incarceration, you know, the poverty that we have in this country. I mean, none of those things are necessary and they're very preventable. So are we gonna step in and do something? And I, again, because I affiliate as a Christian, like, that is my base, and that, those are the people I want to rally, because it's kind of like rallying your family, you know, if you want to get your family on board with the cause, like, but that's usually the first people you go to. So, I'm very hopeful that this generation can move away from the us-them mentality and move towards a mentality of embracing people and loving people and doing justice. You know, I mean, we need to end mass incarceration. We've got to stop the war on drugs. We've got to find a way for people to not be going hungry in this country. I mean, in the world also, but we need to start with our own country. We need to bridge the divide between the wealthy and the poor. You know, there's just certain systems in place that have to come down. They have to fall. I mean, they have to, you know, and the power has to be broken. So, yeah, I hope this generation is the one to do it. I don't know if it will be. I don't know if, you know, I mean, I feel like that's sort of my place, too, because I'm a little older than I feel like the generation that could do it. But I feel like I can sort of hopefully mentor some of these people that are now teenagers, you know, because I'm 30, I'm about to be 34, and help them raise up to do it. Like, I feel like I'm going to be fighting most of my whole life. I may not see the change, but I believe the change is going to come probably within 50 years.
I asked Rex what he thought about media today.
I think that it's very dangerous to have a president who's constantly attacking the media, because I think that's a pillar of what makes us who we are, is the freedom of information. I think that we should be more selective in what we're listening to. And I think our ear needs to be bent towards the suffering of others. So instead of just like getting angry and like, you know, about things that we hear that may go against like our personal opinions, like we need to be listening for when there's suffering and looking for ways that we can help relieve some of that suffering. For example, like what's going on in Syria right now. You don't hear a ton about that on the news, but I mean, there's just immense suffering going on right now with all the bombing. And luckily, I mean, there are places that report on it, but you're going to hear a lot more about, you know, other issues, whether it's Trump and the porn star or Hillary Clinton and her emails or whatever, you know. It's like, I don't really care. Like, I don't care if Donald Trump had an affair with porn. Like, it's not my business. I don't care if Hillary Clinton used a personal email server. But, like, these things just become these huge issues. Well, you've got a kid in India who's dying because he doesn't have clean water, or she doesn't have clean water. And it's like, to me, like, the kid suffering and not having the water is way more important than an email scandal or an affair with a porn star. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't care, you know? So I think that we need to be aware of that, and we need to keep our eyes on the media, but we need to keep an eye out for the right things.
We talked about the sound bites that we get today and journalism and reporting.
Yeah, I think that the idea of like a whole story that someone has taken the time to develop and research is way more important and better than just like the idea of just these little pop articles that just get thrown up online. They're basically just opinion pieces. It's like, because when you have something like the Boston Catholic priest molestation thing that got, you know, brought to light in Spotlight, like in the movie Spotlight, you know, that's what journalism needs to be about, you know, like really like telling things that matter and not just trying to sell papers or whatever, or advertising.
I always like to talk a little bit about communities and what people are doing and how they're surviving after the Great Recession.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, again, like, you can throw a rock around here into the church, but how many homeless shelters can you hit? You know, it's like, how many of these churches have basketball gyms? You know, but and how many have homeless shelters? I mean, it's really a farce in a way. Our as a society and as a society within the church, I mean, there's just such a lack of vision and understanding to what's important, you know. And yeah, well, I think that we need to have, and this is probably the last thing I'm going to do because I got to go here in a minute.
Yeah.
The idea of restorative justice and the idea of helping people, like, we have to get out of the handout mentality. And instead of just trying to get handouts, like, oh, you're poor, let me give you a sack of food, we have to set up systems and develop programs that truly help people get into society where they can help and provide for themselves based on individuals' abilities. So, you know, like, you can't expect one person to just be able to jump into a program that doesn't work towards their skills where they can, like, kind of help themselves. So, yeah, like, doing systems like that and doing things that actually bring healing, because, I mean, poverty, a lot of it is just, you know, it's rooted in pain and years of injustice. It's not like people are just poor. So how do we fight the systems, and how do we enable people to be healed and to become whole? You know, and I mean, I don't have the answers, but that's kind of the journey I'm on, is how do we do that? So my name is Rex Harson. I am in Oxford, Mississippi, and I am part of the American Mosaic.
That's it for this episode of Dialogue from an American Mosaic. Follow along with us. Tell your friends. If you like this series, please subscribe. We would appreciate it. Maybe you have something to share with us on American Mosaic.